In fact, the term cucina povera, Italian for cuisine of poverty, is itself now quite the opposite, ever since the food of Tuscany gained fame for its elevation of simple, rustic fare to an art form.
You go into a farmhouse kitchen in southern Appalachia in the middle of the summertime, and you'll find, it almost would make you think it's a vegetarian diet, because you've got sliced fresh tomatoes, you've got boiled corn on the cob, you've got maybe some green onions, you've got cucumbers bobbing up and down in a bowl of ice water.
Fred Sossman teaches a course called Foodways of Appalachia at Eastern Tennessee State University.
It's unadorned food, not highly seasoned food in many cases. It's food that's honest and true. And the smart Appalachian cook knows how to bring out those natural flavors without masking them with a lot of seasonings.
Well, except for the Holy Trinity, also known as salt, pepper, and sugar. But in its purest form, says Sossman, that's pretty much it.
The food shines through, yeah. And I think that's another element of Appalachian cookery. Not complicating it, not masking those natural flavors, respecting the products of the land, and doing as little to them as possible so that those flavors emerge.
Less work for the cook, because clearly there's plenty of work to be done in cuisines where people tend to cook from scratch, to hunt, catch, or grow their own.
A meal in Appalachia in the summertime, whether you're in southwest Virginia or northern Georgia, often involves what we've called the three sisters over the years, corn, beans, and squash. And the use of those vegetables in combination in the garden now makes perfect biological sense. But the Native Americans planted them together, really not knowing a whole lot about the biology as we know it today. They knew that those plants had a symbiotic relationship. In other words, when you plant corn, corn takes nitrogen out of the soil. Beans encourage nitrogen's development. Corn provides a natural trellis for beans to climb on. And the squash, of course, is a low-growing plant, and it shades the feet of the other plants and holds in moisture. So those three essential elements, harken back to the very earliest days.
Then you add a little pork. The first pigs were brought to southern Virginia by the Spanish in the 16th century. Throw in some black-eyed peas and yams, which came from Africa a little bit later, and you have a multicultural, rustic cuisine, just the kind of thing modern Americans love. So why has the food world taken so long to appreciate Appalachian food?
So human beings need a narrative to pin ideas to, and this notion of Appalachia being this backwards place where people eat fried squirrel brains and do all kinds of weirdly exotic things fits a narrative.
Amy Loeffler is a food and science writer in Parisburg.
I think people have become more interested in Appalachian cuisine because, in general, people are very interested in living, quote-unquote, more authentic lives. If you live here, you know that there are chefs cooking at a very high level.
In upcoming reports, we'll meet two of them. I'm Robbie Harris.